Well, perhaps you'll turn with me to John's Gospel in chapter 3 for just a few verses, a familiar portion of Scripture this evening. John chapter 3, perhaps the most familiar portion of Scripture. And I want just to read the first 7 verses. And while you look that up, can I thank you again for the opportunity to be with you today, for the invitation. It's been my privilege and pleasure to be back with you, and for Noel and Peter for their help in the leading of the meetings today. That's been much appreciated. Now, John's Gospel in chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious truth. Friends, it is a privilege to be back with you today. It's always nice to have opportunity to present the good news of the gospel. There's nothing better we could be doing just now than considering the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his love and of his mercy and of his grace. The gospel, of course, is a message that has to be obeyed. Perhaps you haven't thought of it like that before. It is good news, but it is good news that must be obeyed. And I wonder, have you obeyed the gospel message? Peter asked the question in his letter, what will be the end of those who obey not the gospel? And Paul takes up the answer to that in 2 Thessalonians. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and on those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an eternal consequence for not obeying the gospel message. And just in these last moments of our meeting, I want you to consider carefully whether indeed you have received Jesus as Savior and Lord, whether you are in fact born again. We broke into John's Gospel at chapter 3, to a passage that I'm sure is familiar to all of you. How Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a religious leader, a man who was very familiar with the scriptures, approached the Lord Jesus at night. He knew that he was a teacher. We see that in verse 2. We know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He approaches the Lord and he has a respect for the Lord. And yet it's clear that he doesn't know him personally. He has religion, but he does not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus points out his greatest need, that he would be born again. He tells him very clearly, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And we read here that Nicodemus is obviously confused. He doesn't understand how it's possible for a man to be born again. He's already been born. How is it possible to be born a second time? Can he go a second time into his mother's womb and be born? It doesn't make sense to Nicodemus. Of course, the Lord clarifies it for him and says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. There is a physical birth, but of course there is a second birth. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't marvel that I say you need to be born a second time. You need to be born again. And so Scripture is very clear that there are two births and there are two deaths. And if you're only born once, and we've all been born once, otherwise we wouldn't be here this evening. But if you're only born once, then you will experience two deaths. Scripture's clear. Unless the Lord returns, we will all die one day. I think we accept that. But of course, those who have not been born the second time, who have not been born again, will receive the second death. Whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So I want you to be clear on this. If you're born twice, you only die once. For we read in Revelation, the second death has no power over those that belong to Jesus. But if you're only born once, you will die twice. And so a very important point is made to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you're a religious man. You're a leader amongst the Jews. But you must be born again. I want to ask you that simple question, friends, tonight. Are you born again? That's a personal question. That's not a question that there should be any ambiguity about. It's not good enough to say, well, I hope I'm born again. Or I might be born again. Or I'm possibly born again. You need to know for sure this evening that you're born again. You see, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You will not be able to enter heaven unless you can answer positively that question. Are you born again? You see, this night, while there's opportunity, is it time for examination? Now is the time for examination. The Apostle Paul tells us that we should examine ourselves in 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Verse 5. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself unless indeed you are disqualified? Unless you're found out to be false or not in the faith. Now is it time for examination. There will be an examination at a later time. When the Lord returns, that could be this evening. Then there will be an examination, and he will be judge, and we will all appear before him, either at the Bema, where the believer will give account, or at the great white judgment throne. And what an awesome picture there is in Revelation of the great white throne as the heavens and the earth flee away, and the dead, small and great, are raised to stand before the great white throne. There's a day of examination coming when everyone will meet with the Lord, every eye will see him, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But now is an opportunity for you to examine your own life, to test yourself, to see if you're indeed in the faith. Now is the time for examination. Now is the time for weeping, can I suggest to you. Now is the time to weep over your sin. You see, when the Lord comes and that examination takes place, there will be weeping. Scripture is very clear about that. Luke 13, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abram and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out, there's going to be a time of weeping. Revelation 1 and 7 makes that clear, that every eye will see him and the nations will mourn. There's going to be a time of weeping. But now is a better time for you to weep. For you to realize that indeed you are still in your sin. I've spent time with a woman in recent months. And we've sat and we've looked at the scriptures. And we've read and prayed together. And she has wept because she clearly does not know whether she's saved or not. There's no assurance in her life. There is that panic that comes in. Breathing becomes difficult, let alone eating. It's a terrible thing to know that you're going to meet God one day and not to be sure as to whether you're born again. Now is a time for examination. Now is a time for weeping. Now is a time for seeking. It's time to seek God now. Isn't it great this evening to have an opportunity to seek God? You see, the Lord approached the religious leaders of the day, and he said to them, you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come. There are those who are going to seek, but they're going to leave it too late. And they're going to spend an eternity separated from God. Now is an opportunity to seek God here this evening. I wonder, friends, can you say that you've done that? You've met the Savior, you've put your trust in him, and you can answer positively that you are indeed born again. John writes this gospel. He also under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned the words of Revelation. He also wrote the epistles of John, three letters. And it's interesting in these letters that we find evidences, we find signs, marks that speak of those who have been born again. And what I want to do this evening very simply is take you to 1 John and show you the five marks of someone who has been born again. You may find others in the epistles. I trust this evening that what you will do is you will compare your own life against the scriptures. Because there's nothing more important than this. Do you add up? Does your life stack up to what the scriptures say about someone who's born again? I want you to see someone who is born again runs from sin. Someone who is born again runs from sin. 1 John 3 and verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, that's God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Someone who's been born of God runs from sin. Be careful about the interpretation of that verse. John is not saying that those that are born again do not sin, cannot sin. He's saying that they do not sin habitually. He's saying that their practice has changed. It's clear in chapter 1, if we say we do no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John's not saying that those that are the children of God do not sin at all, but he's saying that their practices have changed. They no longer run after sin, they run from sin. There was a time in their experience when they didn't have a problem with sin. They were happy to sin. They were happy to do those things that displeases God. Sin is falling short of God's glory. All sin is against God. It's an abomination to God. It's something that God must judge. But of course, those that are not born again do not have a battle with sin. In fact, you could say that they're friends. They're not enemies, they're friends. An unbeliever and his sin are friends. But once you're born again, you hate sin. Your attitude to sin is totally changed because you have his seed within you. You have within you now the Holy Spirit of God. You have the new nature within you. And you run from sin. You know that when you sin, you displease God. And you confess your sin. You know that your fellowship with God is affected by sin. And so now you can look at sin and you know that it is something that is not for the believer. And you run from it. You do not run to it. I wonder, friends, has that been your experience? Can you look to a time in your life when you realized that you had sin in your life? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The word of God is clear. Every one of us have been born in sin. We have a sinful nature by birth. We're not taught to sin. We know how to sin because we have a sinful nature. But then that time comes when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. God speaks to us through his word and reveals to us our sin. And then reveals to us our need of a Savior. We put our trust in him. We repent. We turn from our sin. And we accept him as Savior and Lord. And the Lord Jesus is telling us that we must do that to be born again. I wonder, has that been your experience? I had opportunity to sit on the committee of one of the universities that looks after heart transplant and different research that's involved in medicine. And Christian Barnard came over to open one of the new buildings. Christian Barnard was one of the men who pioneered heart transplant surgery. He was the man that realized that whenever the heart starts to decay, it's a muscle that cannot heal itself. It's the only muscle that cannot do that. And so what happens is the rest of the body goes into decay. But if he could take that heart out and put a new heart in, he could bring back a quality of life. And he came and he gave a presentation of all of the research that he had done. I sat and listened to him and I realized, you know, we have sin in our hearts. We're born in sin. And we need that sin taken away. And there is nothing of ourselves that we can do to take our sin away. The Lord comes and takes our sin on his body and gives us the righteousness of God. And we become new creatures. And we have new appetites and new desires. And those that are born again detest sin. Do they fall? Yes. Do they sin? Yes. But do they know that all sin is against God? And then do they confess it? Yes. I wonder, does this describe you? If you're somebody that's happy with sin and has no argument with sin, then I wonder, are you born again? You see, someone that's born again runs from sin. Someone who's born again believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. 1 John 5 and verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Someone who is a true believer, who is born again, runs from sin, but also believes that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. There's an understanding there that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Someone who's born again sees nothing good in himself, realizes that in himself there's nothing good. There's sin. But the Lord Jesus is the one who came to take his sin away. You ask someone who's born again if they're putting their trust in the church, and they'll say no. Ask them if they're trusting on their pastor to make sure they get to heaven, they'll say no. Ask them if they're trusting and giving money to the church, on their prayers, on anything other than the Lord Jesus, and they will say no. Ask someone who's truly born again, would they be prepared to set the Lord Jesus Christ aside in favor of some other way of getting to heaven? And they will say no, because they have this clarity that Jesus is the Son of God. And someone who's born again believes completely that he is the Savior of the world. There is no other way to get to heaven but by him. I wonder, friends, can you say, as we were talking to the children this morning in 1 Peter 2 and 7, that to you who believe, he is precious. To the disobedient, is a stone which the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Is the Lord Jesus a rock of offense to you, or is he precious? Is he precious to you? Is he the altogether lovely one? Friends, the Lord Jesus, when he becomes your Savior, when you're truly born again, is the one that you fall in love with. You understand that he loves you, and he died for you. He gave himself for you. And you enter into a relationship with him that is personal. Someone who is born again believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Does that mark you? Can you mark that in your life? You run from sin and you believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ. Someone who is born again strives to live a holy life. 1 John 2 and verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, that's the Lord is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. If you know that he is righteous, everyone that practices righteousness is born of him. You know that he is spoken of as the righteous one, the righteous judge. When we think of being righteous, we think of being in the will of God in our lives, living holy lives. He's the one that says, be ye holy as I am holy. Someone who's born again desires to live a holy life. They're a new creation.
Goals have changed. Desires have changed. Objectives in life have changed. All we can honestly say, as the Lord put it in Luke 10 and 27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Our aims have changed. We want to live lives that please God. Are you born again? Does that describe your life? Are you perfect? No. Do you know that you make mistakes? Yes. But have you got this desire to live a life that pleases God? There's a walk that pleases God, and it's your life's ambition, like the Apostle Paul's, in everything you do, to please God by living a holy life. You can say with John Newton, I'm not what I ought to be, I'm not what I want to be, I'm not what I hope to be, but I know that I'm not what I used to be, and by the grace of God, I am what I am. There's been a tremendous change in my life. I'm born again, and I long to live a holy and a pure life. It's one of the marks of a believer. Does it mark your life? Are you living, striving to live a holy life? Someone who's born again, John says, runs from sin, believes that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, strives to live a holy life. Someone who is born again loves all believers. 1 John 3 and 14. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. We know that we've passed from death to life. We know that we're born again because we love the brethren. We love those that belong to Jesus. We love brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have a new love for all men. We have a new love for God. But there's this special bond, this special love that exists between the children of God. One of the marks of a believer, someone who's truly born again, is that they love all believers. And you're thinking, I know Christians and they fall out. I know Christians and they row. Yes, and they know that they belong to the Lord and that their fellowship is broken by behavior that sometimes is not appropriate. But I tell you, they also strive to put that right because they know there is one body and one hope. There's one faith. You see, they have an understanding that they have this in common. They may have many differences, different attitudes about things, or different goals and different hobbies, maybe different wealth, but they all belong to Jesus. There is a bond. There is that unity that exists in the body of Christ. We're a peculiar people. Some are more peculiar than others, obviously. But I wonder, friends, as you look at Christians, do you find them odd? Do you find them difficult to get on with? Do you find them difficult to love? Can you look at them and say, you know, I really don't have anything in common with them? If that is true, then I wonder, are you born again? Because someone that is born again bears this mark, that they love all believers. There's a unity, there's a bond that is precious. John Wesley, a great Methodist preacher, was one day robbed as he was coming home, robbed by a highwayman. And he stopped the man. And he said as he was leaving, you know, if you desire at some stage to give up this life, remember that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that's all he said to the man. The man went off with whatever he had taken from John. After a meeting many years later, a man came up to him and said, do you remember me? Well, the preacher said, no, I don't. He said, well, you should. I met you one day on the road and I robbed you. And then you told me about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it cleanses. They were enemies. He had robbed John, but now they were brothers in the Lord. Now they belong to this one family of God. And they had all things in common now because they belonged to Jesus. No longer enemies, but friends, brothers. This is one of the marks of someone who has truly been born again, that they love all believers. Someone who's been born again does not live to the world's standards. 1 John 5 and verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." What is the world? What does John mean? Someone who's been born again overcomes the world. The world is society without God. We read in 1 John 2 and 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." This world rejected God, rejected his Son. Society without God rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will reject the children of God. Everyone, every child of God that would seek to live a holy life will suffer persecution. I wonder, do we believe that? The born-again believer, of course, has new standards. The world's standards no longer are important. He does not conform to the world's standards. The world has standards. They're falling. And I think we're all able to see that from the youngest to the oldest. Standards in our world have changed. I'm 40. I'm 41 this year. See, even I'm struggling to keep up with my own age. But I tell you, in 40 years, how the world's standards have changed. But someone who's truly born again has overcome the world. The world's standards are not the rules that he lives by. He lives by the standards that he finds in the Word of God. The mark of a true believer is someone who loves the Word, who understands what God sets as standards and lives by them. No longer is he happy to go and do the things that his friends will do, knowing that his standards are different. His language will not be the same as his friends because his standards are different. All the things that unbelievers will get up to, he will not, because his standards are different. Someone who's born again does not live to the world's standards, but seeks to live to God's standards. These are simple marks, evidences of someone who has truly been born again. Friends, I bring them to you this evening because I desire that you will look at these five marks and ask the question, can they be marks that others will see in you? Do you see them in yourself? Can you really see yourself in these five marks? If you can, then you're someone who runs from sin. You're someone who's entered into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. You know that he is the Son of God. You're someone who seeks to live a holy life. You're someone who loves other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're someone who lives to God's standards, not to the world's standards. Why is it important that the marks of a someone who's born again are evident in your life? Well, because of the words that the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. Except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're born again, you can't enter into heaven. You will be excluded from heaven. A day will come, it could be tonight, when the Lord will return. And the day of opportunity will be over for you. This could be your last opportunity to be born again. And then Scripture is clear. There will be a weeping as people are pointed away to the lake of fire. There isn't anyone in this gathering this evening that if they die in their sin, there's only two ways to die, either in the Lord or in your sin. But there's no one here who will die in their sin who will be able to accuse God of injustice. You see, as he points the way to a lost eternity, you will see the nail prints in his hands. And you'll recognize that he's the one who died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And you had opportunity to be born again, just as Nicodemus had opportunity, and you rejected the only one that can save you. I wonder, just for the last minute of our meeting, will you consider what it is to spend eternity in the place the Bible calls hell? I was speaking to a man a few weeks ago after another meeting about eternity. He was telling me about a gravestone in the church in Drumore. Has a man's name on it. I don't remember the name, but it has a circle on it, and underneath the circle, the word eternity. Said he used to walk by it and look at that, and he often wondered what it meant. Why the circle and the word eternity? Then he said one day, the penny dropped. The circle has no beginning, and it has no end. And neither does eternity. There's no end to eternity. For those of us that know and love the Lord, for those of us that are born again, we're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. That's a great thought, isn't it? For those that die in their sin, who seek the Lord but seek too late, they will be bound, as the scriptures say, hand and foot, and cast into the lake of fire. I don't know if you've ever been held captive somewhere you didn't want to be. You can't even begin to imagine what it would be like to be held captive in a lake of fire for all eternity. Since I've been with you last year, we've seen some awful sights on our television. We've seen men and women in Iraq held captive. It's an awful thing to be held captive. We've seen children in a school in Beslan in Russia held captive. I wonder, can you just for a minute think about what it would be to be held captive in a lost eternity? Can you see the importance of what the Lord was saying to Nicodemus? You must be born again. If you're not born again, you can't come into heaven because there'll be no sin in heaven. You'll be separated from me for all eternity. I can remember watching the Twin Towers as they fell. September 11th, 2001. Never forget the flames and all of those people that were held captive above the flames. I remember watching as people jumped out of those buildings to their death, thinking that it was better to jump to their death than to be tortured in the flames of the Twin Towers. Never forget, as I turned to my wife, saying to her, I wonder how many of those people are jumping out of the flames of the Twin Towers to lift up their eyes in hell, being in torment in a lake of fire, not for a few moments or a few hours, but for all eternity. That's the picture that the Lord Jesus himself makes very clear for us in Luke's Gospel in chapter 16. Friends, the love of God is such that he would save you this evening. He sent his Son to die on a cross for you, and his desire is that you would turn. As a brother was praying before this meeting began, Ezekiel 33, the Lord is clear. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they would turn. Why will you die? Are you born again? Unless you're born again, you will not be able to spend eternity in heaven. If you're born again, there are certain marks that the scripture is clear, describe you. There are evidences of those that are born again. Friends, if they're not marks that you bear, if these are not verses that describe your life, would you not stay behind and talk to some of us? There's no one here can save you, but we can point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who sat that evening and talked to Nicodemus and explained to him how to be born again. Friends, we'd love to do that. Nothing more important than that tonight. Most important decision you'll ever make. You can be born again. I praise God for the night in Glengormley as a child. I bowed my head in my bedroom and I simply asked him to become my Savior and to take my sin away. Nothing good in Michael Ravey. But the Lord Jesus came in and changed me, saved me. And I know I'm born again. I wouldn't want to leave this meeting tonight without that assurance. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you that you sent your Son into this world to die and to bear on his body the sin of the world. Father, we pray that just now that you might speak on to some life, someone as yet who doesn't bear the marks of those that are born again, that you'll show them their need, open their understanding, and that even this night they'll cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.